Okay, I'm here with Mr. Adam Walter, a fellow tennis enthusiast. Adam, could you just tell us a little bit about how you're connected to the sport?
Okay. I grew up taking lessons, playing indoors and year-round, played USTA tournaments, and then I didn't play in college, but once I got to Indian Hill High School, I started coaching, and that got me interested in the sport again in a different way, but being connected that way.
Gotcha. Do you follow the professional game at all?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Well, I've got a little bit of a game here for you.
Okay.
I've got on my laptop screen here, sorry listeners, you can't see this, but I've got a slideshow of former or current top 10 world players. And I just wanted, just to see how sort of plugged in you are to the sport right now, I'm just going to flash these up on the screen, and you give us a kind of a yes or no, you are aware of who this tennis player is.
Okay.
So first, we've got Gael Monfils.
Oh, yes. I know him.
Yeah, great French player. Still playing that, had a great year.
Mm-hmm.
Novak Djokovic.
Of course.
Yep. Possibly will go down as the GOAT once things are all said and done. We'll see.
You know, yeah. Makes me sad, but you might be right there.
I think you're a Federer guy.
Yeah.
Okay, next. Caroline Wozniacki.
Yeah, I know Caroline.
David Goffin.
Yeah, I've heard his name. I haven't seen him play on television or anything like that.
Some people say he and I look alike. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Then you just need to work on that beard.
Petra Kvitova.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Great player from the Czech Republic. Okay. Tomáš Berdych.
Yes, I am. Big server.
Mm-hmm. I think he just retired, but he was a mainstay in the top 10, maybe one of the best players to never win a major.
Yeah, you didn't say like, oh, who's number 5 seed?
Yeah, it's always
Tomáš Berdych.
Milos Raonic.
Oh, yeah. I know. Canadian, right?
Canadian sensation, exactly.
Right.
Grigor Dimitrov.
Yeah, yeah. Saw him live.
Do you know where this guy's from?
Oh, he's not Russian.
He's not Russian, but close.
No, it's like...
starts with a B.
Belarus.
Bulgaria, close.
Bulgaria.
Alexander Zverev.
Yeah, I know him.
I thought you might not, because he's one of the young guns.
He is one of the young guys, yeah.
Daniil Medvedev.
Yeah, he made a couple of runs this past year.
Yes, he had an unbelievable season this past year. Really kind of put him on the map. Garbine Muguruza.
Yep. Saw her in Cincinnati.
Marin Cilic.
Yep. I know Marin.
So that's it. And those are all, it seems like you know all those players.
Yeah.
If I asked you where each of these players lived, and it's all the same place, they all make their residence in one single place, do you know where they all live?
Well, my first guess would be like Bradenton, Florida, or some place where there's an academy, you know. But
that would make a lot of sense.
Voluntary.
A lot of players do
like
live at the Voluntary Academy.
Yeah.
All these 12 players make their residence in the second smallest country in the world.
Do they really?
Yeah. Every one of them lives in Monaco.
How about that?
Exactly. Yeah. And so the thing I'm going to explore during this episode is, why the heck do all these great players live in this one tiny country?
Wealth. I mean, come on.
He said wealth, and you are not totally wrong, Adam, but there's a little bit more to the story. Stay tuned.
All right.
Like Adam, I'm a tennis fanatic. Have been ever since I was about 7 years old. I play the sport, coach the sport, and follow the professionals obsessively. So when I learned that so many of my idols lived in a country about the size of the parking lot at Disney World, I had to find out why. So that's what I'm going to explore today. Why do so many professional tennis players live in Monaco? First, let's talk a little bit about this country, Monaco. If you've heard of it, you probably know it from one of two things. First, it's the home of the Monte Carlo Formula One Grand Prix race, and it's also the site of the famous poker scene from the James Bond film Casino Royale. And as I said, It's the second smallest country in the world at just over 2 square kilometers. With basically zero natural resources, Monaco relies on tourism to drive its economy. Its population is just over 38,000. For the sake of comparison, Cincinnati is home to just over 300,000. And about a third of that Monaco population are millionaires. Located on the Mediterranean, nestled between France and Italy, Monaco occupies a primo position on the French Riviera, which is some of the most desirable real estate in the world. Its gambling sites and beautiful coastline prove tempting to the world's richest and most elite. But they flock to Monaco for another reason: taxes. Monaco is what's known as a tax haven. According to the Monaco Consulate, if you're a resident of Monaco, you pay zero income tax. And if you own a business, you pay extremely low taxes. So it might seem like I've found an obvious solution to my question, right? Wouldn't the tennis players take up residence in Monaco just to save a bit of cash? The answer, on the surface, seems to be yes. Every tennis player I mentioned at the top of the show is European, minus, of course, the Canadian Milos Raonic. And according to the Tax Foundation, Europeans pay some of the highest individual income taxes in the world. If you live in the Czech Republic, for instance, you pay 31.1% income tax. If you live in Spain, you pay 43.5%. In Germany, it's even higher. You pay 47.5%. If you live in France, you pay 51.1%. If you live in Denmark, you pay 55.8%. And if you live in Belgium, you pay a whopping 60.2% in individual income tax. To put this in perspective, David Goffin from Belgium earned $2,694,717 last year. At home in Belgium, $1,616,000 would disappear into taxes. Even though real estate is quite expensive in Monaco, his investment in living there would pay off, likely after only 1 year. So yes, it seems like professional tennis players, particularly those in Europe, have quite a convincing incentive to declare Monaco as their residence instead of their home countries. Tennis players are hardly the only athletes who use Monaco as a shield from high taxes back home. Formula One drivers do as well. According to Fox Sports, drivers such as Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, and Kimi Raikkonen all make their homes in Monaco instead of the UK, Germany, Spain, and Finland. And all these men are worth upwards of $150 million, which would place them firmly within their home country's highest tax brackets. Now, you might say this is unfair. Tennis players are earning millions of dollars and can afford to live quite comfortably on half of what they make. Plus, they have reaped the benefits of taxes all their lives. They've driven on roads paved by the government and have been kept safe by police and fire rescue workers. Isn't it sort of a jerk move to pinch every penny of your millions by setting up a residence in Monaco? For a tennis player, the answer to this question is not so simple. First, tennis players are responsible for way more expenses than other athletes. According to top 10 player John Isner, when on tour, tennis players pay for their own lodging, transportation, and food out of pocket. They also pay for their own coaches, who typically receive a percentage of the player's earnings. A tennis player is also responsible for his or her own medical treatment and physical trainers. Contrast this with any American team sport, like the NBA, NFL, or Major League Baseball. In each of those sports, the team pays for the hotels, the team pays for the private jets, the team takes care of all medical bills, and the team pays you a guaranteed salary, win or lose. In tennis, you still earn money when you lose, but it's far less than the money if you win. John underestimated that, given all his expenses, he would have lost money playing at Wimbledon this year if he had gone out in the first round. So, can you really blame a tennis player whose earning potential is limited to about 10 to 15 years, or likely only about 5 to 7 years, and who must pay way more expensive than most athletes for saving a little bit of money by living in Monaco? And by the way, all of this is legal. So, the incentive exists for tennis players to use Monaco as a tax haven. But do other incentives exist which might explain this strange phenomenon? David Goffin claims he did not move to Monaco for the money. Now, just to recap, he's the Belgian tennis player who arguably had the most to gain financially of all the players on the list, being that Belgium has a 60% income tax. But according to an interview he gave to Tennis World USA in 2017, his chief incentive for living in Monaco was not money. It was to escape the fame. According to the interview, Goffin said, quote, "It became difficult for me to train in Belgium, as I can't make a step without being stopped by someone," end quote. Goffin may not be a household name in the US, but he's a megastar in Belgium. And he's not alone. Russian star Daniil Medvedev feels the same way. In an interview with the same source, he claimed his move to Monaco was motivated by his inability to concentrate when he was at home in Moscow. Not every player feels the same way, of course. Simona Halep, a world number one player, objects to the idea of living in a tax haven, preferring to live in her home country of Romania. According to Halep, she feels a responsibility to give back to the country which has given her everything. Now, critics might be quick to point out that Romania has a relatively low income tax rate, only 16%, so maybe it's easy for Halep to make that decision when her competitors from Belgium are paying 60%. But Halep still takes a significant hit by living at home. She has made over $35 million during her career. $5.6 million of that has gone to Romanian taxes. So, let's revisit the question I posed at the top. Why do so many professional tennis players live in Monaco? Like most things, if you follow the money, you'll find an answer. It's undeniable that a major incentive for tennis players to live in Monaco is its extremely favorable tax system. It's a simple matter of dollars and cents. And I admit, on the surface, this might seem really selfish and even unpatriotic. But a professional tennis player is responsible for so many more expenses than a typical athlete because they do not belong to a team and they don't have guaranteed contracts. This does not excuse this behavior, which some might see as tax dodging, but it's perfectly legal and it makes financial sense. And also, they're not the only athletes to do it. Formula One drivers do it all the time as well. But there's a hidden side too. Money, while it makes the world go round, is not the only incentive. For some players, it's just not about the money. Players like Goffin and Medvedev use Monaco as an escape from the distractions of home. And Simona Halep left $5.6 million on the table in order to live in Romania, where she felt a moral incentive to pay it forward. Although, players have an incentive to downplay the money aspect. It's horrible PR to be seen as a tax cheater without loyalty to one's homeland. And so it's possible these players are merely saying these things. So in the grand scheme of things, pro tennis players' behavior reflects something we can all learn from. Sometimes it's healthy to think about yourself and look out for number one. Just like everyone else, the players respond to incentives. If the public pressure from the fans or their home country was great enough, the downsides of living in Monaco would outweigh the benefits. But that hasn't happened yet, so the pro athlete population of Monaco will likely continue to rise.